Hello, I'm Jim Richardson. Here we go with another program, another week. I'm telling you what, we're going to give you some tools that are going to help you. And again, I'm going to invite you to contact everybody on Facebook and send them a link to this message. Send this to your friends, because I'm telling you something. I don't know about you, but I want to get the help I need when I need it. And the Bible is very clear that we can get the help we need and how to get the help that we need. But I'm going to tell you something. Religion has tried to make you think that God's going to turn his back on you when you're in trouble. Religion has tried to make you think that if you've messed up, God is not going to be there. Matter of fact, I remember one time hearing a preacher say, you know, when you mess up, you go back to the end of the line. You have to start all over. Well, I got news for you. God doesn't send you to the back of the end of the line. There's not a line with God, because he is there. He is ever present. He is your ever present help in your time of need. And today we're going to talk about the grace of God and how to get the help you need when you get it. Be sure, get ready, and dive into this. It's going to change your world. Listen, I want to invite you to get my book, Grace, the Power of Change, and the accompanying CD series. Millions of people around the world have had their lives transformed through this book and this CD series. People have really come out of bondages they thought they would never break. People have come into the life they thought they could never live. People have recovered their dreams, found their destiny. You know, one of the most common or most often heard complaints in over 40 years of ministry is that people cannot get what they believe to work. Man, that's such a tragedy. I mean, it's so frustrating to have the right information, to see in the scriptures, to see it written in the scriptures, but then not be able to get it to work. You know, I think the main reason that happens to us, it's not because we don't have enough faith. Let me tell you something. Everybody has enough faith. God has given every man a measure of faith. Listen, if you've got enough faith to get born again, you got enough faith to do anything, because there is no greater miracle that requires more resurrection power than just getting born again. The problem is not you don't have enough faith. The problem is your faith is probably in the wrong place. You see, when you see a promise of God in the Bible and you can't get it to come to pass, it's very likely that you're struggling with the process. You really don't know how to translate this truth into a reality that works in your life. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people explain the promises of God away. A lot of people explain the scriptures away. A lot of people just excuse their shortcomings, their failures. And then a lot of people just complicate it and keep making it harder and harder. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things I think that legalism does, is legalism keeps making up rules to make it so hard for this to work that you can kind of justify and explain to yourself why you can't get it to work. But let me tell you something. This is supposed to work. This life is supposed to work. It can work, and it does work if we approach it based on what Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection. So that's why I'm calling this message today, Get the Help You Need When You Need It. Because most people in their greatest time of need really, really just come up short. They don't really connect with God for what they need. They don't really have happen in their life what they desperately need. And so most of the time that we have a great need, the truth is we feel so guilty or we feel so condemned about the problem that we're ashamed to come to God. You know, religion has made us run away from God in our time of need instead of running toward God in our time of need. You know, I always tell people, you know, like I said, the book of Hebrews says to come boldly before the throne of grace. Well, a couple of things we need to look at there. First of all, we need to realize God is not sitting on a throne of judgment. He is not sitting on a judgment seat. As a matter of fact, we know that he is sitting, in fact, on a mercy seat. Now, mercy and grace are not the same thing. Mercy is what God is, the tenderness that God has towards because he loves us. Mercy is where God is, you know, is looking for a way to not punish us, looking for a way to not hold us accountable for our sins. And you know, even more than that, it's not just the fact that God is trying to find a way to not hold us accountable. He doesn't want the power of sin to work in us. It's not a matter, you know, he's forgiven us. He's dealt with his issues toward us regarding our sins. But, you know, sin still has a way to destroy us and creep into our life. And God is, his tender, loving mercies, he cares about you so much that he does not want us to experience what we deserve, what our behavior deserves. So God sits on the throne of mercy. He is there ready to help. He wants to help. But it's also described as a throne of grace because, remember, grace is God's power, God's strength, God's capacity, God's ability that comes by unmerited favor. In other words, whether you deserve it or not, it's yours. And it works in your heart. It wasn't working in your heart to do it. It works in your heart to make you able. It works in your heart to give you the capacity. It works in your heart to cause you to be, do, and have exactly what God says that you can be, do, and have. In other words, grace is God's power that works inside you. Now, most of the time when we need grace right before we sin, when we're being tempted, or right after we sin, or you know, we need grace when we want to live our call and fulfill our destiny. The real truth is we need grace all the time. And unfortunately, most of the times that we need grace, our religious ideas really keep us from experiencing God's grace. I'm telling you, God is just there saying, his throne of grace, he rules in our heart. God is there saying, I want to help you. I want to give you the power. I want to give you the wisdom. I want to lead you through this. I want to give you everything you need to get the best possible outcome that you could ever have. But again, like I say, religion really keeps us from experiencing that. Remember, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. We should always come with incredible grace. And it says that when we come, that we will obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. Now, I want to address our time of need, and we may get a chance to talk about one of these programs about fulfilling your call, your destiny, your purpose by the grace of God. But right now, I want to talk about when you're struggling with some life issue, whether it's a sin that you're giving into or some limiting situation. And remember, sin isn't just the bad things that you do. Sin is anything that causes you to experience life and to experience yourself less than God, what God says about you. Experience life with less than God says that he has given you in Jesus. Experience life with less peace than is yours. Experience life with less joy than is yours. Experience life with less health than is yours. That's all sin in a certain sense. See, we just think of sin as what you do wrong. No, sin is anything that causes you to live in lack, that causes you to have to strive, that causes you to feel that you're not really who God says you are. Now, one of the biggest factors when we're struggling is that we tend to experience what the Bible calls condemnation. Now, condemnation is the expectation of judgment or the expectation of a penalty or the expectation of punishment. Now, what we've been taught about God really makes us afraid of God. Now, I want to tell you something. In the Old Testament, when the Bible talked about the fear of God, it was talking about a love and an awe that inspired worship and dedication, and love and loyalty. And so we should not have this fear of God doing bad things to us. In fact, you know, we know that faith works by love, but the Apostle John told us that you couldn't have fear and love at the same time. The Apostle John says that perfect love drives out all fear. And that fear, if you have fear, it's because you're afraid of what God is going to do to you. And if you have fear, it shows that you're really not fully convinced that he loves you with a perfect love. So this whole process, this whole journey to a perfect faith really involves believing first and foremost in God's perfect love. We have to believe that God loves us. Now, when we believe that God loves us with a perfect love, and we look at the cross of Christ to see that, then the Bible tells us, in fact, in the book of 1 John, it tells us that God's love was demonstrated in that he made Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. Well, that word propitiation means the satisfying of wrath. In other words, every penalty that we should experience in life because of our sin, Jesus became sin and took that curse of the law so that we would not have to suffer that penalty. So we should look at what Jesus has done. Look at the fact that he has already paid the price that we deserve. We are delivered from that penalty, and that should be the place that we look at and see and grasp the perfect love of God. Now, if I believe that Jesus has paid the price for my sin, then I am not afraid that God is gonna hurt me. I'm not afraid that God's gonna punish me for that sin. That's what John was talking about. Perfect love casts out or drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment or judgment. And if you fear, then it just shows that you do not believe that God loves you with a perfect love. So we want to realize that God, see, God is not using guilt. God is not using shame. God is not using condemnation. He is not testing you. He is not trying you. I'm telling you, those are all religious lies. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God. He says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust or his own desires. That word tempt means to tempt, to test, to scrutinize, or to cause to strive. God does not put you in a position where you are having to strive, or you feel like you're having to strive, or you feel like you're being scrutinized. Remember, Paul answered that question in the book of Romans over the 8th chapter. He said, who is it that condemns us? The one that made us righteous? God forbid. Why would he make us righteous and then find fault with us? I'm telling you, religion has made God look psycho. Religion has made God look crazy. God is not crazy. God is not confused. God doesn't have double standards. I'm telling you, God is consistent. And everything he does is he does because he loves us with his perfect love. So, you know, we realize God doesn't use all these horrible things. You know, I was reading just this morning the book of John where he says, where he talks about bearing fruit. Man, God wants you to bear fruit. And Jesus said, look, you'll just abide in me. Live in me. Recognize that it's the in him realities that makes all this work. And let his word abide in you, and then you'll be a disciple. So the real key is, if I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus, I'm a person that I live and abide in the in him realities. In other words, I know I'm in Jesus. I know I have what he has. I know that I am as he is right now in this world. So I'm in him. But it's really interesting. He says, now every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he purges it. Man, we read that word purge and we think, oh, see, there it is. God's going to purge you. He's going to prune you. He's going to cut you up in pieces. Well, you know, we fail to recognize it. And then Jesus said, and you are clean by the words that I spoke to you. That word clean is the word purge. It's the same word. God does what he wants to do in our life by teaching us the word through the person of the Holy Spirit. And when we believe the truth about who we are in Jesus, the grace of God comes alive inside us. But I'll tell you something, grace can't come alive inside you when you are consumed with guilt. You see, when you look at your life and you go, oh man, I know I've done these things wrong. But when the Bible says confess your sin, it's not talking about wallowing in it. It's not talking about living in it. It's talking about I can own it. I can admit this, but I can also own and admit that even though I might deserve punishment, even though I might deserve something, I'm not going to get it because I'm in the Lord Jesus. You see, condemnation is where you look at your life and really you're just feeling so guilty and you're judging yourself and you start thinking that God is going to punish you and torment you for what you've done wrong. You know something? There's a lot of times I've had to look at my life and say, you know, Father, if I got what I deserved right now, the earth would open up and swallow me alive into hell right at this minute if I got what I deserved. But I thank you, Father, that I don't get what I deserve. I get what Jesus deserves. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to do that and easily stay in sin. You're not going to do that and take God's grace for granted. You're not going to do that and try to get by with something. People are so afraid you're going to get by with something. I got news for you. God wants you to get by with it, not because you think you're smart enough to get something over on God, but because you come to realize his great and perfect love for you. So condemnation is the expectation of punishment. But see, faith is based on the expectation of a perfect love. Faith is based on the fact that God loves me, and because he loves me, he will never hurt me. And because he'll never hurt me, I can always trust him. All of his promises are absolutely true. All of his promises are absolutely sure, and I can always count on him to come through for me. I will tell you something. That's one of the things I realize. I realize I can always count on God to come through for me. always. And I also realize that anytime it doesn't go as it seems, not in a way that I'm going to beat myself up, but usually I've refused to listen to God. I've refused to follow Him. I've been so tied up in fear or guilt or something that I haven't been able to pay attention to what God is saying. I've just been paying attention to what my heart is saying when it condemns me. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was a faithful and a merciful high priest. Now, as a faithful and merciful high priest, as a matter of fact, it explains to us that Jesus, like the priests in the Old Testament, they were chosen from among men, you know. Well, Jesus was chosen to be our faithful and high priest, but He had to become a man and to be tempted in every single way that we're tempted. If He was not tempted in every way that we're tempted, I got news for you, He would not be able to qualified to be a priest for us, because see, Jesus was tempted, yet He overcame the sin. So, you know, one of the things that you'll never hear from Jesus, when you're tempted, you'll never hear from Him, I never felt that. I was never tempted to do that, because the Bible says He is tempted in every way like as we are. But because He's been tempted, He's merciful. Because He's been tempted, He understands what we're feeling. He understands what we're going through. But you see, because He overcame sin, He can always lead us out of sin. He can always lead us into victory. He can always lead us into the perfect destiny. Now see, we read earlier where it says to come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need. We said, you know, most of the time our time of need is right before we sin or right after we sin. We've learned here that Jesus is a faithful high priest that's been tempted like every way like as well, but He knows how to overcome that temptation, and He will lead us out of that temptation. And we said that condemnation, or the expectation of punishment based on the guilt that we feel, is probably the number one reason that we really don't go to God. We're ashamed. And see, most of the time, we're so ashamed that we blame somebody else, we come up with excuses, or we just deny that we did it. You know, who knows all the crazy ways that we avoid owning whatever it is that we've done. And see, that when the Apostle John said to confess your sin, he says, confess your sin because it's a faithful and a just thing that He's already forgiven you of your sins. He's not telling you that God will forgive you in the future if you confess. He says you can confess your sin because God's already dealt with this, and it's faithful and just that you should experience the forgiveness that He's done for you. Now see, the word confess means to say the same thing, and that kind of has a lot to do with being able to own something, being able to admit something. And here's what I found. I found that I can't let myself experience forgiveness for something that I won't even admit that I need forgiveness for. In other words, if I'm denying that I've done something, how am I going to experience forgiveness? If I'm denying that I need something, how am I going to let God help me? You know, and if I'm denying it, maybe it's better to understand it this way. As long as I have somebody to blame, I really haven't owned it. I'm still in denial about the situation. I'm still in denial about my need, my weakness, my part in it, my struggle, whatever. Whatever. So if I've got somebody to blame, I'm in denial. If I've got an excuse, I'm still in denial. You know, if I've got an excuse, if I come to God with excuses, then what that really means is I don't really trust in His mercy. I don't really trust that He's a loving God. I don't really trust that He took care of all of this on the cross of Christ. I think I've got to come up with a story. Man, I don't know about you, but you know, when I was raising kids, I hated it when my kids wanted to come up with a story about why they did what they did. I used to just tell my kids, like, I don't really care why you did the wrong thing. I just care that you did the wrong thing. You see, so many times in raising kids, we think that if they give us a good enough reason for doing the wrong thing, that justifies it. So that tells them that really truth and integrity is situational. It's not absolute. And what I wanted my kids to know is they're going to always be loved. They're always going to be accepted. But the real truth is the damage and the consequences come to them even when they have a good excuse. So if you have an excuse, it means you're afraid. You don't trust. You don't really believe that God's going to be merciful to you. So if you got an excuse, if you got anybody to blame, you really haven't owned it. And if you haven't owned it, you can't experience the grace of God to overcome it. I'll tell you something else that's really interesting. You know, shame, guilt and shame. You know, guilt is when we feel negative or feel bad about what we've done. Shame is when we feel bad about ourselves. Guilt is when we say our behavior was bad. Shame is when we say, I am bad. Interestingly, there's some kind of sick way that we think that if we feel guilty enough about whatever it is we've done wrong, that that is a form of penance, that that's a form of paying for our sin. Well, and that's where you get this idea of people pouring down to an altar and crying and wailing and beating their chest and rolling on the floor and screaming out to God. Well, you know something, there may be times you legitimately feel so ashamed of what you've done, or you may hate what you've done, that you have that kind of reaction. And you know what? If that's natural, I mean, if that's really how you feel about your behavior, then that's probably a good thing. But really, there's this idea that we've taken the word repentance and we've replaced it with the word penance. Repentance and penance are not the same thing. Repentance is where I change my mind about something. And you know what? That may happen with a lot of powerful emotions. It may not happen with powerful emotions, but I'm able to look at it and say, you know what? I don't want the consequences of this. This is not how I want my life to go. This is not how I want to live. But see, penance is where I pay a price. And we have made coming to an altar and wallowing in guilt and wallowing in shame a form of penance. And we think that after we've felt guilty and shameful long enough, that finally God will decide to forgive us. Well, I want to tell you something. Number one, that's a rejection of what Jesus did on the cross, because Jesus took care of our sin on the cross. And this means that we trust our works more than we trust His works. But I found something really interesting. I found that as long as a person has guilt or shame, they are still emotionally connected to whatever that sin is, to whatever that problem is. And as long as you're emotionally connected to it, you will do it again. You will find yourself there again. Now, we have a high priest who has been tempted in every way just like we have. Therefore, we can come to Him and not have to be ashamed. You know, I've got some buddies that have gone through some struggles, and because of the struggles that they've gone through, I can sit down and talk real honestly about my life or my failures or the places that I need help. And I don't feel guilty. I don't feel ashamed. I don't feel condemned, because you know something? I know they've been where I've been. I know they can relate to my struggles. And I'll let those people speak into my life, because we're able to be honest with each other. But you know what? I'm never going to talk to a preacher or somebody that acts like they've never sinned, they've never done anything wrong, they've never broken the rules. And, you know, if they think that, then they're kind of deceiving themselves, and I can guarantee you they got some self-righteousness going on that they're not even aware of. But see, Jesus is that buddy that even though He didn't do it, He's been tempted just like I was. Therefore, I can talk to Him about anything. And you know what? I tell Him the truth about it. I can own this stuff and talk to Him and talk to Him about my temptations, talk to Him about how bad I want to give in to my temptations, and I can experience the grace of God on the other side of that. Now listen, I'm going to be back with you in just a few minutes. I'm going to be sharing with you what I call the mentoring moment. I'm going to share with you specifically what I do whenever I'm faced with a temptation. I'm going to share with you specifically how I talk to Jesus. Because I tell you, I want you to get this. I want you to be able to connect with God in your time of need at the throne of grace so that you can get mercy and grace to help. You know, Jesus asked this question. He said, are you tired? Are you burnt out? Are you worn out on religion? He says, come to Me, and I'm going to give you rest. Take My yoke upon you, because My yoke is easy and My burden is light. I want you to realize something. When they used the word yoke in Jesus' time, they were talking about His doctrine, His philosophy of ministry. He says, if you buy into what I believe, this is going to be easy and it's going to be light. Grace, the power to change, is going to give you the resources, the tools, everything you need to know about how to access the grace of God. God's unlimited power that works in you, that establishes you in righteousness. God's unlimited power that works in you to manifest His miracles, His gifts, His healings. Everything that God has is a work of grace and faith. And grace, the power to change, is going to give you everything you need to be able to live the life of your dreams. You know, the Bible tells us that grace is something that works from our heart. That's the reason I created the Heart Physics Program. I realize that most people are trying to connect to God in their brain, not their heart. If you've never done heart physics, be sure and go to heartphysics.com and check it out and connect with Christ in your heart. And I'll tell you what, if you have done heart physics, you've done essential heart physics, and you want to develop yourself, you want to come to the place where no matter where you are in any situation, you can immediately connect to your heart, therefore connect to the grace of God, then be sure and be at our Advanced Heart Physics Weekend, October the 18th through the 20th, right here in Huntsville, Alabama. I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be for people who want to go beyond what you can get in a program and want to learn how to live out of their heart in a more deliberate way. You know, we all hate to admit it when we fail. We all hate to admit it when we're being tempted. But I want to tell you something. You can get in your secret place. You can go this private place with Jesus, and you can tell Him all of the truth about your struggles. You know something, when I'm tempted, I just go to Jesus and say, Lord, you know I want to do this. You know, and if it's ego, I tell Him it's ego. If it's sexual lust, I tell Him it's sexual lust. If it's greed, I just tell Him the truth about it. Lord, you know what's at work in me. But I know that I don't want that in my life, and I know that you're going to help me. Now, I want you to realize, see, since Christ is in you, that means the same grace that was in Him is already in you. So, now that I've owned this, I have created a place in my heart that I can actually get help. And the first thing you always do is you always put off the old man. And that's where I say, in the name of Jesus, I send away this greed. I do not want you. You're not from God. I don't need you. There's no benefit from you. You have nothing for my life. And I send it away. And then I begin to do what the book of Joel says. Let the weak say they're strong. This is where I begin to acknowledge, Father, I thank you that I am righteous in Jesus. I thank you that sin has no power over me. I thank you that right now the Spirit of God is leading me and empowering me. I thank you that your strength is coming up in me right now. I thank you that I have absolute victory over this temptation because I am under grace. I am not under law. I am not trying to do this in my ability. And I'll tell you, I began to acknowledge scriptures about victory. And here's what I found. I found that number one, you cannot give in to any kind of sin while you're acknowledging your righteousness through Jesus. But I've found that if you engage your heart when you begin to acknowledge these things and see it, imagine yourself living in the victory that you're saying with your mouth, you will experience the grace of God. And when you walk away from that temptation, you won't be walking away from something you still want to do. You'll be walking away from something you never want to do.